tent being built in church this morning. Maybe you've run a race. It seems a simple thing, doesn't it? When your marks get set, go and you go and all you have to do is get to the finish line. But what if it was the hurdles? It looks easier than it is. I think I only ever tried them once. But you've got hurdles to get over or to get through, to get beyond. And in our faith and in our following of Jesus, in life there are hurdles, there are problems, there are difficulties that arise. Will we overcome them? By faith, will our faith grow stronger as God helps us through them? Or will it collapse? I want to think this morning particularly about who is Jesus. From Luke, where we are in Luke's Gospel in Luke chapter 8. If you want to turn with me, it's Luke chapter 8 and beginning to read at verse 40. Luke was a physician, a doctor, and he carefully investigated all that was said about Jesus. He wasn't one of the 12 followers, but investigated. So he went to people and interviewed them and found out where Jesus went, what he did, what happened, what he said, and he wrote a careful account of it. Historically, geographically, and other ways, politically, he's accurate in the time that he wrote. And we know it's the Word of God as it's shared to us. And you can see that it was eyewitnesses, people who are really there, really saw these things happening. And Luke's Gospel, there are three main sections, really. One is the person and the power of Jesus, the section we're in today, the first part of Luke's Gospel. Who is Jesus? What can he do? And then the middle section is more about the parables, the proclamations, the teachings of Jesus. And then the last part is the passion of Jesus. His sufferings and his death, his resurrection, his eternal life and ascension into heaven, and the future. So yes, it's all about Jesus. But who is he? What did he come to do? Luke 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Amen. We'll end the reading of God's word there at the end of the chapter. Who is Jesus? The person and the power we can see in this section of God's word. Last week we saw that Jesus had the power over the natural world, that he was able to say to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And suddenly the raging storm was still. The disciples asked the question, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is he?" They thought they knew. They thought he was a teacher. And they were following him. They were listening to him, seeing what he did, going where he went. But this was something different. This was something shocking, something astonishing, a miracle that transformed them from being frightened and "Do you not care that we're going to drown?" to suddenly everything's calm. There's someone here who's in control beyond their ability, beyond anyone's ability. This is God, and he is with us. We then saw last week about the freeing of this demon-possessed man, that Jesus has the power and authority over wickedness, over evil, over Satan and the forces of wickedness, to set people free. Isn't this what Isaiah had prophesied? That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, sight for the blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, the Jubilee, the setting free of people from sin, from suffering, and from separation to God, to be near with them, to dwell with them. But then after this man was set free, what did they ask him to do? They told Jesus to leave, to go away from that side of the lake. I don't know about you, but we don't like being rejected, do we? If a child asks for an ice cream and you say no, well, there's disappointment, isn't there? If we're rejected for something, well, Jesus was rejected. He was sent away from this area. So he came back to this other side of the lake, to Capernaum. And when he returned, a crowd welcomed him. So you've got two very different crowds. The man who'd been set free wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus left him there to share and to tell of what God has done for him. Yes, God had met him. God had set him free. And so he shared what he'd done for him. But now when Jesus came to this side, a crowd welcomed him. And amongst this crowd, well, then there was a man who came running, who came and fell at Jesus' feet. This man was a man of position. He was a ruler of a synagogue. A man in charge of the synagogue, he would have had a job, an occupation, and means and finances. Mention is made about his wife and his daughter. And so he was an upstanding man in his community, a leader, a man who was respected. But here he is publicly falling at Jesus' feet. This seems humiliating. What's brought him to this position? Well, it's love for his daughter. And his daughter is dying. As a man of means, he'd have done what he could to try to help her get better. They'd done what they could naturally. They'd have asked doctors or people around to come and help her, to heal her. But nothing seems to be working. She's getting worse. He would, as a man of religion, he'd have prayed to God and asked God to set her free, to deliver her, but nothing seems to be working. But he's heard about this man called Jesus. And in his desperation, Jesus seems to be his last hope, his only hope. Nothing and no one else works. People can try religion. People can try what their money can bring. People can try all sorts of different things, but nothing really works for things that are of eternal value or of life-giving value. And so he comes and falls at Jesus' feet. And he was pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. I wonder, as a number of us here today, maybe we're in different places regarding God. Maybe we have come to put our trust in him. Maybe we haven't yet. Maybe we're still looking and finding out. Who is Jesus? Is he worth learning about? Is he worth following? But maybe we have come to know him and have been following him. But for this man, Jairus, he's looking at Jesus, and what's brought him to Jesus is his daughter's condition. But for us, what was it that brought us to Jesus? It was our background or our upbringing. Maybe it was circumstances that we faced, that we realized that life is short and death is certain, and that actually the only thing that matters is a link with God, with eternity, with life eternal, and with what happens afterwards. And in Jesus, we have somebody who came from God as God himself, who to live in this world and then to take us to be with him forever, to make that way possible, that opening that we have access to come to him. Well, here in front of this great crowd of people, Jairus humbles himself, falls at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house. And what does Jesus do? Well, Luke just says, as Jesus was on his way, Jesus went with him. In other words, went with Jairus to go to his house. That's where he was going. There was a man in need. His daughter was unwell. But notice the crowds almost crushed him. There were so many people around. Maybe you don't like crowds, maybe you do. But there's so many people around. And then there's an interruption. And this woman touches the hem of his garment. It wasn't just the hustle and bustle of sort of trying to get somewhere in a crowd of people. She touched the hem of his garment. You know, in Malachi 4 and verse 2, we read these words, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, like in the edge of his garment." And here she is touching by faith, that just a touch of the hem of his garment would be enough to heal her. What was her condition? Well, we read about the daughter who'd been alive for 12 years, and now she's dying. And now how about this lady who's been suffering for 12 years? That's a long time. It's a long time for this condition to be going on. For her, it's something she's had to suffer and to cope with, to deal with. It's not just the physical aspect of it, but in terms of the spiritual aspect of it, she's now unclean, which means she's no longer welcome to go into the temple to worship. I think she must have cried out to God and been, what has she done for this to happen? She doesn't think it's her fault. And yet she can't really approach God in the temple because she is unclean. Read the Levitical laws. Leviticus. And does God really care about her? Can God do something about her condition? Nothing seems to work. No one seems to be able to help. Notice what she'd done here. No one could heal her, is what Luke says in verse 44. Doctors. Maybe your experience has been good. Maybe it's not been so good. Maybe they contradict one another and have different courses of medication. But Luke, as a medical doctor, says no one's able to help her. No one's able to heal her. Mark was rather blunter in what he put about this. He said she'd spent all that she had on many physicians, and instead of getting better, got worse. Maybe that's your situation today. Maybe it's not. I hope not with the technology and medical abilities today. but they still can't do certain things. Certain conditions and diseases they can do nothing about. No one could heal this lady. And so we're not told her name. We're not told anything about her. She seems anonymous. Maybe she feels she's unimportant to God. She's unclean, ceremonially speaking. No one's been able to help her. She has spent all that she has. She has nothing left. And for 12 years, this has been going on and on and on, day after day after day. But she hears about Jesus. If only I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. I will be healed. She has faith that somehow this person, Jesus, could do something about her condition. And so she reaches out in faith and touches, came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And what do we read? Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Hang on, who is this man? Is he just a person? Is he just a teacher? Is he a prophet? He must be more than that. This isn't some magic. This is the power of God, the presence of God. You see, her condition, contact with her, would have made the other person unclean. Like someone with leprosy, you don't touch them because you'd become unclean. A dead person, they didn't touch them because they became unclean. But any contact of people unclean in those senses, either by disease, or like this lady with an issue of blood, or a dead person, well, whenever Jesus had contact with them, their condition totally changed. Who is this man? This isn't just once upon a time, a fairy tale. This is once in reality. These people were really there. They wrote about the account. They saw it. It's externally validated. That people saw and what Jesus did, heard what he did. And immediately, she was healed. For 12 years, no one could help her. And then by a simple touch of faith, she was healed. Do you know the chorus? Maybe we've sung it here. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. I can't remember the rest of it, but it's a lovely little chorus. As he's passing by this moment, your needs to supply, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. And even today, we could reach out by faith. We can't see Jesus physically here or his cloak or garment in that sense. But as the living God, who not just came into this world, but to live, but who died and who lives again and has ascended, we can reach out by faith. And as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And we can receive from him forgiveness for our sin, cleansing. We can know God as our Savior. Verse 45, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" That's in some sense a miracle in itself, isn't it? He knew that somebody had touched him. It wasn't just the bustle. And maybe even today, people here, maybe we've bustled or known about Jesus coming to church or reading the Bible, but maybe we haven't yet had that touch of faith or reached out by faith. You see, they all denied it. And Peter was like, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." He's like, "Jesus, look, it's just a hustle and bustle. You know, people are bustling around. You know, that's it." Typical Peter, isn't it? Maybe typical of us. Do you not see there's people around? You know, it's just a normal thing that's happening. But no, Jesus knew something different. And you see, other people might not know what condition we're in. This lady could have covered her condition and covered it quite well or tried to. But we might cover our conditions too. But you see, God knows. God sees and God knows. I think again, if you read Mark's gospel, I think it is Jesus looking around. But it's not that he's looking around where he is. It actually says looking around her. So for example, if I pick on Alan over here, it's almost like, "Who touched me?" And it's like looking around Alan. It'll be, oh, you know, it's pretty obvious. It's known who touched him. or that Jesus knew who touched him. But you might think, well, isn't this embarrassing for her? That why does she have to be brought out into public? You see, she wanted to be anonymous and just touch and heal. But you see, Jesus came for far more than that. He came not to just bring healing to her, but to bring a restored relationship, to bring peace with God and the peace of God in her life. Like the disciples on the storm in the boat. Like this woman here. He knew that power had gone out from him. And the woman, seeing she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. She knew she'd been healed. And so she told why she had touched him. The condition she had now revealed. Maybe it was known, but how she had been instantly healed. Because Jesus came to have that relationship with her. Notice what he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." I think it's the only time we read about Jesus calling somebody daughter. This woman who had nobody to look out for her, felt all alone and had nothing left, that then the Lord took her up, as it were, in those everlasting arms, as we read about in Deuteronomy, brought her into his family as her loving heavenly father, and said, "Daughter, you're not alone. Your condition is not forever." He can heal her disease, her condition. He can restore her relationship with God. "Daughter." And so she has the comfort and the assurance of the words of Jesus. "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." You see, there's a difference between people bustling around Jesus and the touch of faith. That we can reach out. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be rescued. Everyone who calls by faith. Maybe for the moment we'd forgotten about Jairus. Jairus hadn't forgotten about himself, and he certainly hadn't forgotten about his daughter. And I think at this point he'd be like, "Well, hurry up, you know, can we not just go on? You know, why are you being distracted by this interruption?" And if you're anything like me, we like things instantly, don't we? You know, "Come and heal my daughter, come now, no distractions, go straight there, you know. Even driving along the road, if you want to get somewhere and that light turns red, well, you know, you want to get there quickly, don't you?" But maybe the fact that Jesus knew and Jesus healed this woman has given confidence that yes, he can do that for that woman. He can do this for my daughter. He can heal my daughter from whatever's ailing her. But then, while he's speaking, someone came from his house. "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." To this servant of Jairus from his house, or this messenger, Jesus was just a teacher. Don't bother him. And maybe if we've come to follow Jesus in our lives, there'll be people in the world telling us, "Why do you go to church? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you bother with that? Don't bother him anymore. There's no point in it. What's the point in following Jesus? There's no need for it. There's nothing he can do. Your daughter's dead. There's nothing, no one can do anything about it." But hear the words of Jesus. In fact, it's almost, I think, someone made the comment that this message to Jairus was said quietly so that he would hear personally. But it seems Jesus knew what was being said. And he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. Hang on, Jesus, haven't you just heard? She's dead. There's nothing, no one can do anymore. Hope has gone. It's the end. It's finished. But not for Jesus. For Jesus, She's just sleeping. Now, sleeping is a metaphor, as it were, for death in the Bible. Jesus said about Lazarus in John 11 that Lazarus was sleeping, and he was going there to wake him up. And the disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, maybe he'll get better. And so Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So sleep and death, you see, to us, death is a pretty big problem. It's the end. There's nothing can be done about it. But for Jesus, it's just like sleep. And that's the hope that we have. But loved ones who have gone and have been buried, that we shall see them again. That death is not the end. But one day the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, immortal, in other words. And we shall see him. But for now, the news was his daughter had died. Don't be afraid, just believe. There's a hymn we used to sing, when you feel weakest, danger surround. It talks about the troubles and things that go on in life. But it has a chorus, keep on believing. Keep on believing. And that's what Jesus is saying to Jairus. The faith that brought you to me, keep on believing, keep on following, keep on trusting. And what are his words? She will be healed. So they arrived at the house of Jairus, and he didn't let anyone other in other than Peter, James, and John, and Jairus, his wife. And there were people wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. Rather like he'd rebuked the wind and the waves, rather like he'd rebuked the disciples, oh, you have little faith. But he just rebukes them. And notice their response, they laughed. Probably professional mourners. They changed from weeping to laughing and scorning him, just like that. They didn't believe him. They knew better. And don't we know better sometimes? We think we do anyway. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Someone put it like this. He just said, wakey, wakey, little girl. Just like you'd wake somebody from sleep. But notice what he said. It was his touch. It was his word that made the difference. So who is this man? Who is Jesus? Well, he's God with us. Because when he takes her by the hand and he says these words, the spirit returned and she at once stood up. Immediately, in other words, straight away. And to show she was really alive and really there, give her something to eat. Maybe she hadn't eaten for a while. Her parents were astonished. You could say that again. They weren't expecting that. Even though Jesus had said it to Jairus, she was alive. They couldn't believe it. It was too good to be true. And it does seem too good to be true. You see, God, who is the giver of life, the author of life, he can speak the word. And he did speak the word. And she was alive. But for us, whatever we're facing, keep on believing. Keep on following. Because who is Jesus? Well, he is God. He is God with us. But let's make the question more personal. Who is Jesus to you? Have we actually reached out with faith? Have we actually called to him? The people here, what made the difference in their life and transformed this lady from her condition and her uncleanness, ceremonially speaking, to being a daughter of God, one restored, one made whole, was she reached out by faith. What made the difference for Jairus' daughter was that Jairus sought the Lord. Jairus reached out by faith. He pleaded with Jesus, and his daughter was restored. Yes, this lady would have, through the natural course of life, and both ladies, in fact, would have lived and died. But see, for us, we live, and it's appointed unto people once to die, and after this to judgment. But you see, what Jesus was able to do here gives us confidence for what he will do in the future. It seems too good to be true, maybe, that one day the dead will be raised. It seems too good to be true that one day we can dwell in heaven with him, that where he is, we can be also. But it's the words of Jesus. It's the life he lived. It's the death he died for our sin. It's his resurrection life, eternal. It's his ascension into heaven that was witnessed by many people. It's the fact that he's promised to come again and promised to take us home to be with him. Is he able to do this? Well, yes, he is. Because people who reach out by faith find their condition cleansed, find their sin cleansed. People who reach out by faith can find life given to them, eternal life, that they can live with him forever. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, more to the full, not just life here, but forever. Like we sing in the hymn Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first began. With him forever. So who is Jesus? Well, he is a man, like you and me, like a man. But more than that, he has the power, he has the authority. He is God with us. He has the power to still the storm and to bring peace. He has the power to set free from darkness, from evil, and to set people free. He has the power to cleanse and to heal and to bring into God's family. He has the power to raise the dead to life and life again. So have we come to believe in Jesus? Who is he? And who is he to us? And we can reach out by faith and find cleansing for our sin. And find, yes, hope, and a hope that will endure, because he is God who came to seek and to save that which is lost, to bring us to him. It's a lovely incident here, these four miracles, that show us very clearly who Jesus is. And I hope, if we haven't yet put our trust in him, that we will, and that we'll come to him just as we are. Whether we're an important person like Jairus, know his name, know his position, that he humbly came, or like this woman, anonymous, with nothing, when we look down on by other people, that all are welcome. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, that Jesus invites us to come to him, and to follow him, to receive from him his love, his power, his restoration, in the hope that one day, yes, he will restore all things, and that one day we will be transformed, and we will be like him, and we'll be with him forever, because he humbled himself and came to us, came to this world. If we but come to him, we can receive the blessings of God and life eternal. I thought perhaps we would sing in closing. The words will come up here on the screen.